On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're spending the hour talking about our state's new two-year budget that the governor signed last week. It comes after months of conversations, bargaining, deal-making, back and forth, whatever you want to call it. Governor Evers explained his 78 partial vetoes before signing it Wednesday.
In recent weeks, I strongly considered vetoing the budget from the legislature entirely because it did not do enough to ensure that our kids and our schools had the resources they needed to be successful.
Did this budget end in a compromise? Are you pleased that the budget is signed and lawmakers can move on to other business? Do you want Republicans to try to override any of the vetoes? Join in at 800-642-1234 at any point during the hour. Laurel White has covered the budget twists and turns. She is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, and she co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So some top GOP lawmakers have said that the governor mostly stuck to what Republicans wanted in the budget. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said that the governor basically signed the Republican version. Is there merit to that?
I think that when you look at the substance of the governor's vetoes, they aren't huge changes from what Republican lawmakers passed. I think the biggest change that the governor made was that additional $65 million for K-12 education in Wisconsin. He did that by boosting per pupil funding. Some of the other things that he did were more removing provisions, things that he hadn't proposed in his budget, things like the change to how Teslas are sold in Wisconsin, money for the Green Bay prison, things like that. I think that when people were kind of looking at the governor's potential action on the budget as a veto entirely of the whole document, that's certainly not what happened. And I think Republicans were really framing it as a win for them and bipartisan cooperation in the Capitol.
Yeah, so there was more compromise than we might have, and perhaps less drama, too, because the last budget was stalled for months on end over transportation.
That's right. So we had a budget that was passed in the fall last time around because of, you know, finding this long-term solution to transportation funding in Wisconsin. Ultimately, of course, transportation funding was resolved in this budget by going kind of a different way. I think something that wasn't completely on the radar of budget watchers, which was increasing these vehicle title and registration fees by quite a bit, especially in the case of the title fees. Those are going up $95 when you buy a new car. The registration fees are $10. But these two increases are going to provide a hefty chunk of new revenue for road projects in Wisconsin, which is something that lawmakers have really been angling toward for several years, but haven't been able to find agreement on how they wanted to do that.
One change the governor made that some Republicans weren't pleased with was taking away funding that was intended for implementing work requirements and drug testing for people on public benefits. How have GOP lawmakers reacted to what is going on in food share?
So that's something that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and one of the co-chairs of the Budget Committee, Representative John Nygren, were really concerned with after the governor issued the vetoes. I think that's where the strongest language came from after the budget was signed and kind of the biggest point of contention for Republican lawmakers. Voss said that it was, encouraging people to stay on welfare and taking away something that the people of Wisconsin want, which is kind of these additional requirements to make sure that people aren't abusing these programs or becoming too comfortable relying on them, kind of the Republican argument there.
So to be clear, though, the state is still on track to implement the drug screening requirements mm-hmm. for food share that were approved under Governor Walker. Mm-hmm. It is the requirements for adults and children that receive food share being targeted right now on this veto.
So what's happened, and this was a little bit confusing,
yeah.
There were a lot of moving parts. So basically what's going to happen is some of the work requirements that are in place, so working a certain number of hours a week in order to receive food stamps, those were set to be expanded later this year. They already apply to certain populations, able-bodied adults without children. On October 1st, they were set to expand to able-bodied adults with children. What's going to happen under the governor's veto is that some of these work requirements aren't going to be enforced. Not all of them, though. Some of the work requirements still will. And we don't have an exact answer on what will and what won't. But we know that when we talked to the governor's staff right after he issued the veto, they said this isn't an entire complete zeroing out of this program. Some elements will continue to be implemented. And as you mentioned, the drug screening requirements are part of that will be implemented.
Talking with Laurel White, she is WPR's State Capitol reporter, and she's our guide on the new biennial budget. What are your questions or comments about the state budget? What do you think was left out? What do you find encouraging about it? And what are your thoughts on funding for transportation, healthcare, and education? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Laurel, Governor Evers also vetoed funding that was set aside to buy land for a potential new maximum security prison in Green Bay. What do we know about that?
So basically what he did here was he eliminated an earmark in the budget. I believe it was about $5 million to buy land for this maximum security prison in Green Bay. He took out the specification that $5 million needed to be spent on that land. So he gave the department money but didn't tell them what they needed to use it for. His logic behind that, according to his veto message, was that there just needs to be a little bit more analysis done, a little bit more evaluation before the state decides whether or not it's going to build a new maximum security prison and where. The governor, if you might remember, during his campaign talked about reducing the prison population in Wisconsin. That's something that watchers, since he's taken office, have been a little bit critical of from that realm, saying that he hasn't done enough to act on that. This is maybe a little bit of a tip of a hat to say we're not going to build this new maximum security prison, or at least I'm not going to authorize this thing that sets that in motion.
What did he do on the juvenile corrections front in this budget?
So this is, again, a little bit confusing. So what's happening here is that with Lincoln Hills closing, and that is closing 6 months later than originally planned, about the middle of 2021, mm-hmm. I believe. It was set for January. He just signed that bill before the budget. When that facility closes at that time, inmates are going to be redistributed to different state and county-run facilities. So the budget splits the money for those facilities into kind of a pot for counties and a pot for state-run facilities. The amount of money for the state facilities was stripped out by the budget committee. And according to people that are really involved in this process, they said that that was okay with them because they weren't sure that the amount that was in there to begin with was sufficient for these state-run facilities. So they said, we're going to come back in the fall. We're going to kind of reevaluate how much money we need here and pass this separately, authorize it separately. We do know that the counties do have money. So this is kind of an evolving process in terms of getting the state resources behind this change. And it's also been a process in kind of laying out the timeline, because it's a pretty big switch to restructure the state's juvenile justice system.
We're talking about the new two-year state budget signed by Governor Evers last week ahead of the holiday. WPR's State Capitol reporter Laurel White is with us. What do you think of the $82 billion spending package? Does it adequately address funding the things that you care about in your community, in your part of Wisconsin? Do you think the budget does enough for K-12 and special ed? What do public schools need right now? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back with more State Capitol Report in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about Wisconsin's new two-year budget on this edition of the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The $82 billion spending plan was largely the work of the Republican-controlled legislature, but Governor Evers revamped parts of it with his powerful veto pen. What do you make of the treatment to pillars of the budget, like education, transportation, and healthcare? What do you think of the governor's approach to using partial vetoes? Should he have done more or less? What about healthcare? Do you agree with the decision not to take federal money for Medicaid expansion? Join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Can email ideas at WPR.org. Laurel White is our guide. She is WPR's State Capitol reporter. Let's go to Linda now, joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Linda.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind about the budget?
My big concern is the lack of funding for nurse educators. We have a large and an increasing concern for the nursing faculty shortage in Wisconsin. We produce the number of nurses needed for the workforce, which is the largest healthcare workforce, and we had a $10 million ask that got into the governor's budget, but was not supported at the Joint Finance Committee level. And this is really not a partisan issue. This is going to impact everybody. And I have real concern of what the next steps will be.
Linda, thanks so much for the call. What do we know on the nurse education front?
So we do know that this is, as Linda mentioned, one of the elements that was taken out by the Joint Finance Committee. The Joint Finance Committee took out quite a number of things that the governor had proposed for the UW system in terms of program funding. That was actually kind of a big part of the budget negotiations, because when large number of projects came out that the governor had proposed and the UW system had requested, some folks might remember System President Ray Cross called that a kick in the shins. Mm-hmm. And then it was, I think, just about a week later that the building projects for the UW system were mostly approved. And so I think kind of folks moved on a little bit from that program funding, that discussion of things like nursing training. I know that another big element of funding for the UW system was high demand careers in things like STEM, expanding those programs, computer sciences, that have been kind of bursting at the seams at some mm-hmm. campuses, according to testimony. Lots of demand for those, and they wanted a little bit more money to increase the capacity there. So that was certainly something that I think a lot of people within the UW system at different campuses were really concerned with in this budget, was not meeting the demands of the system for certain programs.
Let's talk about the veto powers of the governor for a moment. Wisconsin governors have some of the most extensive veto powers in the country. What can and can't the governor do with this partial veto power? What did we see happen here with Governor Evers?
So what the governor can do with his partial veto power is take out individual words, numbers, and punctuation. And so he kind of uses this to manipulate things a little bit, to make some changes. We saw him do that with that increase in per pupil funding, just kind of manipulating the numbers and words in there a little bit to get that additional $63 in. It's actually, I think, interesting to note that the power of the governor in terms of vetoes in Wisconsin over the course of time has actually shrunk quite a bit. The governor used to have the ability to take separate sentences and delete words to make new sentences in the budget. They called that the Frankenstein veto. Mm-hmm. To build entirely new phrases there. Then there was also the Vanna White veto, which has gone away. That was to take away letters in words to build new words.
Geez.
Right. So the Wisconsin governor still has a lot of power, especially in comparison to other governors across the country, but not quite that much power anymore.
And in terms of overrides, what would Republican lawmakers be able to do?
So as of right now, we're not anticipating any overrides of vetoes. They would require a two-thirds majority vote in the Assembly and the Senate. That would require Democratic voters, Democratic lawmakers, to come on and lend their vote to that effort. We're not anticipating that happening.
Let's go to Susan now in Milwaukee. Hi, Susan.
Hi there.
Hi, go ahead, Susan.
Well, my points simply are that I'm so pleased at what he's doing as far as the education. educational system is concerned, I feel that I'm a retired public school teacher, actually going back to do some subbing because that's how desperate not my needs are, but the needs of teachers in our system are. We need to recognize that we've got to have smaller classes with teachers and teachers' aides assigned just to that small class so that we give children the foundation that they need in order to close the achievement gap. It's a national crisis. It's not just a Wisconsin crisis. We are wasting a generation, and that's the only way it can be done. It's the only way it can be done. But the other thing is I'm pleased to hear that he is not going to tolerate the refusal of the federal funding, because that's something that I feel has punished the poor in the state of Wisconsin all the years that Scott Walker was doing it. So,
well, Susan,
with that, I'll stop. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Susan, and bringing up a couple different points. First, on education, you know, Evers campaigned on his pro-education stance and from the job he had prior, but some school groups have had a mixed reaction mm-hmm. to this budget. What do we know?
So we know that some school groups were disappointed even with the governor's increased funding that he put in there through the veto, saying that it fell short of expectations. I think it's important here to kind of put the what was approved by the legislature and what was signed by the governor last week into context. So what the governor proposed earlier this year in terms of K-12 education funding and a boost there was $1.4 billion. That's how much more money he wanted for the entire system. What was signed last week was $565 million. So certainly not as much as the governor initially called for. And I think what some groups were, they got a little bit of a taste of it because they saw, you know, the governor is proposing this. Maybe we've got a chance. Of that $1.4 billion, just to give even more of kind of a clear picture, $600 million of that was just for special education in Wisconsin. So what we have ended up with in the budget that was approved, the full increase for K-12 is less than what the governor wanted just for special ed.
And the final budget does include, though, $97 million for special ed in an increase. Is that significant?
Well, I think that, you know, Republican lawmakers are saying that that is certainly a significant number and that's going to be helpful and that it's needed. I think the push and pull there is Democratic lawmakers and the governor say that it's not enough, that it is an increase, but it's not a substantial enough increase to really make a difference in classrooms.
Let's go to Ann now in Campbellsport. Hi, Ann.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I had 3 points I was very disappointed with in the budget. The first one was that we did not accept federal funds for expansion of Medicaid. I think that was fiscally irresponsible. The second thing is they dropped the legalizing medical marijuana. I think the majority of people are in favor of that. And the third thing, and probably the most important, was they dropped Governor Evers' proposal to form a nonpartisan committee to end gerrymandering.
So, Ann,
those are the three things.
Yeah, and Ann, you're touching on three things that have really come up frequently about criticism to this budget, Laurel.
Mm-hmm. And we know that take the nonpartisan gerrymandering commission, for example. We know that the governor is going to reintroduce that in conjunction with Democratic lawmakers as separate legislation when lawmakers return to the Capitol in the fall. So that's certainly not a debate that's going away. That's something that he is going to continue to push for. Similarly, the Medicaid expansion, he said he's going to reintroduce that as well. Now, I think a thing to note here is that obviously these provisions didn't have enough Republican support to be included in the budget. So it would require some substantial negotiations, I think, some pretty hefty debate and back and forth if we were going to see these signed as standalone legislation later on this year.
So in the last 30 seconds we have with you, as you look at lawmakers going forward, they have this budget now in place.
Where do they turn to next? What is the next thing they work on?
So it's looking at a lot of those proposals in the fall, things like the redistricting commission. Another big one that we are going to be looking at, I think, in the fall is that medical marijuana legalization. We know that Assembly Speaker Voss is open to legalizing medical marijuana in Wisconsin, but he says it needs to be done in a really thoughtful way because some people are concerned that it could be a, he's called it a slippery slope to legalizing recreational marijuana in the state. We also know that the prospects for that in the state Senate aren't looking incredibly sunny right now. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said he's not sure there's support in his caucus for that. So we'll be keeping a close eye on that in the fall.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter and co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast. The State Capitol Report continues with a reaction from lawmakers on the new budget. You have a line to Assembly Minority Leader Gordon Hintz and Assistant Majority Leader Mary Felskowski. Join in 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.